Now this is my kind of therapy.
What do you see now?
Well, there's two of them.
Two apples?
No, they're not apples. But they're round.
Hey everybody, this is Mike.
This is Daryl.
And this is Awesome Mike, and you're listening to Forgotten Failures, a podcast where we discuss a forgotten or otherwise obscure movie and decide whether it deserves to be forgotten.
Yep, that was pretty good. I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
And we haven't watched the movie yet, but
no, we
this
haven't.
Week it's my choice, and like I usually do, I chose something that's freely available on YouTube, or you can pay $40 for a VHS, and it's a 1988 Canadian horror movie called The Brain.
Canada, eh?
Ooh, Indeed. Nice.
Yeah.
Brains, eh?
Me and Daryl, while we were waiting for you to get home from work, found a fan-made trailer for this on YouTube.
Trailer.
Yeah,
oh,
fan-made.
Yeah.
And it was too long, and it had no narration.
And I think they didn't quite understand what was meant by like what a trailer is.
Yeah.
Did they even say
have any
in
of the
a world
the trailers
at any point?
No, it was dumb.
They didn't.
They should have. He did. And the funny thing is that there was a decent amount of like effort put into making this trailer because it's like clips and there's like, you know, these like cool little edits that go with the music that I'm assuming is music that he found. I don't think it's from the movie.
Yeah.
And other stuff. And then he could have easily done narration over it.
Instead, it's just like a lot of like blocked letters.
Yeah.
It's called visual narration.
Also, he's going to need a crash course in which it's to use.
Yes.
Wait.
It was always wrong.
Yeah, the grammar was wrong. Yeah.
Well, the Canadian film industry probably produced a lot more professional trailer for it, which I'm sure ended up on many VHSs for many other horror movies at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just bummed because it gave away the monster, and I was kind of hoping.
Guess what? It's a brain.
Yeah, it's a brain.
Oh shit!
But
is that what that was?
Yeah. It is kind of weird looking.
So you're looking forward to it? What do you think?
I am. Judging by that trailer, it looks like it's going to be kind of, I don't know if campy is the right word, but just kind of like
self-aware.
Yeah, maybe
satirical,
just a little, like a crappy horror movie, which I tend to like. So
yeah.
Maybe not self-aware.
So with that. With that, I'm looking forward to it. It looks like when did The Pit come out? What year?
The Pit was early. I think it was like 79.
Okay. Because I was going to say this, it doesn't remind me. Looks like it might be like the tone of The Pit, but with better like all around production just because it was like later made in 88 rather than whenever The Pit was made.
Although this is Canadian like The Pit, I'm expecting more of an Evil Ed type experience than a Pit experience.
Okay.
It looks like this is going to be one of those horror movies that's also like a satire of TV or movies or something. It seems to be... And it's also harkening back to the 50s horror movies in which there was often an intelligent brain that was really angry and wanted to kill people for no reason.
Yeah,
or maybe he has
brains,
a good reason. I don't want to assume too much about this brain.
He's a brain. You can assume he's thinking and that there's reason behind it.
This is true. If he's a brain, he's got to be smart.
Yeah. Yep, that's how brains work.
That's how brains work.
Yeah, well, if he's so smart, how come he's not rich?
This is true.
Sick burn.
Yeah, how come he pays taxes if he's so smart?
He's so smart. Why are you paying taxes?
That's going to be my new retort to people. Hey, you think you're smart? Where's your taxes?
Well, I didn't see the trailer. So
did you file a tax return this year, dummy?
I didn't realize that the brain pays taxes in the movie because I haven't seen the trailer.
Well, who else is going to build those roads and schools, man?
Yeah, man. Brains ain't got no arms.
Brains don't even drive cars.
You wouldn't download a brain, would you?
Would you?
I would download the intelligence into my own brain by some sort of cybernetic neuromancing.
I gave off neuromancing after transcending.
Yeah. What about you, Daryl? What do you think about this movie?
I'm also excited for it. The effects look pretty solid from the trailer.
Yeah.
Looks like there's a fair amount of action, which is always good. And we haven't watched a good spook 'em up in a while. And I like a good spook 'em up. I mean, I don't know that there's actually going to be spooks, but there is going to be a brain.
That is a thing. Because I've been wanting to watch this for a while. I put it on the list for Halloween, but then I thought, Although it is a horror movie. Like, for Halloween, I'd much rather watch something with ghosts or witches in it than a brain monster.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked Crybaby Lane instead.
Gotcha.
So this has been on, this has been on the list for a while. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I hope it's not too self-aware. And as the main girl, you might recognize her voice, because apparently she was the voice of Princess Zelda in the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and all of its various spinoffs.
Oh, yes. So I guess she's slumming it in this role, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I think she was on some very successful soap operas. So yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And it also stars the guy who played the professor in Reanimator, who got his head removed.
Mm-hmm.
So we can only hope he gets his head removed in this movie too, and is a professor.
Yeah, that's his legacy.
Yep.
But this will be fun.
Teaching stuff and dying.
I hope this is fun. I like a good monster movie. Kind of like Critters or something like that.
Critters.
Like Critters, but not as menacing, I think. It didn't look as scary as Critters are.
What's menacing about Critters? They're little guys.
Did you see their teeth?
Yeah, better to bite all of your skin off with.
And then so you want it to be less menacing than Critters, but more menacing than Gremlins.
Yes. It needs to be that middle ground.
We're looking for that sweet spot.
That sweet spot of menace.
Anyone for menace?
Menace to society.
Dennis.
No, that's way too menacing.
Dennis.
You got money on that petrol? All right, let's watch this thing.
All right, let's do it. Oh, yeah, Lindsay's not here, so I'm saying it. Let's do it.
How many times have you asked your husband to watch this show, and he has refused? Don't let him ignore you by ignoring me. Be assertive. Tell him if he wants you, he must watch me.
All right, we're back.
I'm back from the brain. You're back from the brain. The brain has returned, but now he's gone again. And it's us, back from watching the brain.
Oh, yeah, guys.
Yeah, there's that.
And all these listeners, I hope you know that you've been being brainwashed the whole time you listen to these episodes.
Oh, yeah. You guys have probably been doing all kinds of weird stuff. Stabbing your moms.
It's the long con. Yeah, like a couple episodes ago, we went nationwide. And I think next week we're going to go worldwide, so watch out, guys.
Yeah, it's a real quick turnaround. You go like nationwide, then it's pretty much worldwide. After that, you can we're going to be syndicated on Mars soon.
Yeah, the brain's everywhere.
Yeah, it's exponential. with these patterns, you know, there's no limit to what we and our friend the brain can accomplish.
Yeah, it's like no limit soldiers, you know.
That's right. And much like the brain, Master P is a very smart individual who is the mastermind of all of his minions, Silk the Shocker, or in this movie, Professor Blake. Is that his name?
Yes, Dr. Blake.
Yeah, who, well, I mean, we don't want to go through the whole plot right now, but as I predicted, he got decapitated. Wow. I swear I didn't look that up ahead of time.
Well, you did a very good guess.
It's very good because, you know, his IMDb profile. Picture is just his head.
That's when he was decapitated in Reanimator, not when he was decapitated in this movie.
Yeah. He's typecast as the decapitated guy.
Yeah, he's typecast as a headless man.
You know, some guys have a punchable face. He has a decapitatable head.
Yeah.
It's because he has such a big pointy chin. It looks like it could survive very easily without a neck behind it.
Is that what you think when you eye people up? Like, man, that guy doesn't need that whole top of that stuff.
Yeah, when I look at actor David Gale, who died about 3 years after this somehow.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Was he decapitated?
I'll look on Wikipedia. Yes, tragic blimp helicopter rotor incident.
I would have guessed axe chopping. That's what my guess
would have
been.
There was so much axe chopping in this movie. But we don't want to jump ahead too far.
Where do we want to jump to? Yeah. I think we should jump to that part of the podcast where we talk about whether we liked it.
Yeah. And that part
that was just me saying words until my brain could remember the rest of it.
Daryl, if and when your brain becomes activated, please explain to us whether you liked this movie or not, and in what way.
I'm explaining to you by brainwashing you through the podcast waves.
No, we can't brainwash each other. Come on. We got to team up and brainwash the listeners. Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all right.
Come on,
nice.
Man.
Jeez.
You missed that memo?
I did because my brain was off, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was probably that week when you weren't here.
I think that was probably
That was when you were just a little brain before you ate the sexy nurse and became a giant brain with a big dog face.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess by our exuberant tone, you can...
I don't know.
I enjoyed this movie. It wasn't like... it was basically what I expected with a little bit of extra stuff. It was like it was what I expected, but
I'm good.
A slight cut above what I expected. So anytime it's like that, it's good. Like I was expecting, you know, some real garbage special effects, a very thin plot, some miserable acting. And actually, the acting for the most part was better than I expected. At least from our main character, who plays a very dislikable person to begin with. So that's good. He made me dislike him, and not in the "this guy's so annoying, I just really want this movie to be over" way. Like a genuinely like, "oh, this guy's kind of a pompous piece of shit, but for whatever reason, I don't want him to die.
He needs to get what's coming to him." Oh, no. No, he doesn't. I don't want him to get what's coming to him.
He needs to get most of what's coming to him.
He needs to get a little bit of it.
Yeah, he needs to do a taste of what's coming to him and then send it back because it wasn't cooked to his specifications.
He needs to learn his lesson.
But yeah, you know, it was an entertaining movie. Yeah. It gets totally bonkers at certain parts, which makes it kind of fun. And it doesn't drag too much. There are some scenes that could be a little bit shorter or were just kind of like nonsense. But like this movie's only 87 minutes. And in that, it provided a pretty solid 87 minutes. So I'd recommend if you're a fan of this type of like kind of low budget, kind of cheesy horror movie that is really more of like, again, not a scary movie, more of a
a monster movie.
Yeah, monster movie. If you like, you know, kind of shitty monster movies, then this one's definitely worth watching. I'd say probably get more enjoyment out of your friends, but if you're really into the genre, it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
Mike. And by Mike, I mean Mike Vegas Mike. Mike Gossam.
I agree. Basically with what Daryl just said. Yeah, you could definitely watch us alone if you're into that genre, but you'd probably get
watch
a lot
us
more.
Alone. Oh, yeah. I'd love to watch us alone.
Why not? But then you get super brainwashed.
You watch yourself alone. You know, you just descend into madness.
Yeah, that's when you just start floating into like oblivion. But yeah, if you're into that genre of like kind of crappy B movie horror stuff, you'll enjoy this by yourself. But I think you definitely get more out of it with viewing with friends or other people that you might not like, but just want to watch movies with.
I don't know. Watching with enemies.
That might be fun too. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I've never tried that. Yeah. Watch a movie with someone I hate.
Call up a guy who tried to kill you and ask him if he wants to watch a movie. Yeah. Might I recommend The Brain?
I'm not calling him up again.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. You don't get shamed again. But yeah, it was fun. I agree with Daryl that there was some parts that dragged, but not to a detrimental aspect. Most of it was kind of fun and enjoyable. It's a good movie to just kind of have playing because you could be on your phone and doing stuff and still kind of pay attention and you get the gist of it. There's not a whole lot going on. I wish there was more monster effect type of stuff. It kind of teetered on like the sci-fi kind of feel to it, which definitely worked for what it was. But I think for me personally, I would have enjoyed it more if it was more like straight up old school monster movie type of thing. But yeah, it was fun. Check it out. What do you think, Mike?
I agree. I really liked this movie. It was kind of in the trancers category for me in that it doesn't have that much to laugh at, but then like it's very exciting and it really moves along at a good pace. It's you know, it does the best that it can with the resources it has, much like trancers. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, one-liners or completely ridiculous things in it, but somehow like, you know, you watch a movie sometimes and then you think later on, you think that didn't really hold up, but I enjoyed it at the time. Like with this movie, The Brain, like that happens with every scene. Like, like a scene ends and you're like, that didn't really hold up. I can think of several plot holes in that scene, but this scene I'm watching now is pretty exciting. Like, oh no, that one was kind of dumb too. But you know, it just carries you along, and then it ends. It's pretty fast. It's you know, it really has a great Roger Corman quality to it. Because, like,
yes.
It does everything with a straight face, but it doesn't take itself that seriously. Like, like you forgive it for kind of being half-assed because it's not like everyone was lazy. It's more like they only had, like, 10 days to shoot a movie, so they did the absolute best they could. Mm-hmm. It's one of those. So I really liked it, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Speaking of Roger Corman, before I forget and it gets totally sidetracked, he was on WTF of Mark Maron within the last
Roger Corman is still alive?
Yeah.
I never considered that might be the case.
It was actually a really cool interview. And then they also had the guy, it was like, there was like a little mini interview before he did Roger Corman. And it was the guy who directed the new, like the sequel to, what the hell is the movie? The old movie with the cars, the Death Race.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like Death Race 2050 or something like that. It's like a sequel to the actual Roger Corman Death Race.
Not a sequel to the Gerard Butler version of Death Race.
No, no, not those ones.
No, we just pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, they like talked about
Gerard
that too.
Gerard Butler movies.
He talked about that in the thing where like he basically sold the rights off, but he owned those characters, so he was able to make a sequel. So, and it is weird. But the guy that directed the new one was basically just like talking shit about Roger Corman the whole time. Because I guess he's like a huge stickler on like price and like trying to do things as cheaply as possible.
Like Roger Corman started making movies in the 50s. But like it was almost impossible to make a low budget movie. You couldn't even do it. You couldn't even find a camera. You couldn't even find lights that would let you light things enough to film them.
Yeah. So that was one of the funny things about it, was like this guy talking shit about how he could never get money out of Roger Corman to make this movie. And then Roger Corman talking about like all the cheap ways that he made movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all the little shortcuts. And it was just great.
Like in this movie, the shortcut was there's a monster. It's a brain. I think it's always just filmed in a black room by itself.
Yeah.
Even when it's interacting with people, you just see it in a black room by itself. Mm-hmm. And unless the people are always staring at the camera. A little bit too much, I thought. The main guy, he stares at the camera, and you just think, what a smug douche. Like, look a little to the left. Don't look directly at me.
Yeah, sometimes he was in that weird, like,
makes him endearing.
Aztec-y kind of room that also doubled as a lab room, which was weird.
Yep. Which was a real place that we looked at. Well, obviously, didn't fucking make it for this movie. But
the building itself.
Yeah, the building itself, which is architecturally
it's pretty
sweet.
Yeah, it's called, we were kind of interested in that building. It was called in the movie, it was called the Psychological Research Institute. Yeah. And it kind of looked like something out of
PRI. Yeah. WPRI. That's a radio station that is an NPR affiliate, I think.
Yes.
It is? Excellent.
Well, it basically is good. NPR, but not funded by the government.
Public. Yeah, it's Public Radio International.
Ah, yes. Ah, yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks like a Stranger
Things. Could you edit all that stuff out where I sound like a fucking moron?
Nope.
You mean episodes 1 through 52?
Burn.
Ooh, sick burn.
Well, I guess you weren't in all the episodes, so sorry, that's not fair.
Yeah.
It's even shittier.
That's not fair to the rest of us. Tar us with your brush.
So the Psychological Research Institute kind of looked like a building out of Stranger Things. So it was this movie was filmed in Mississauga, Ontario, which is just outside of Toronto. It's like between Toronto and Hamilton.
You may recognize it from looking at Canada Dry bottles.
Ah, all right.
That was the first time I saw the name Mississauga. And then I realized that it's like the suburb of Ontario where everybody works. Like, it has like a million office parks in it.
Yeah. So this was in the building was a Xerox Research Center, which is in Sheridan Park.
Oh, those,
which is kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Go visit it and ask to see the brain.
Yeah, we were just like, oh, that's got to be a real building. And we wonder what it is. And it is a real building.
Yeah, because that's one of the funny things about the movie is when they're entering this Psychological Research Center. Well, I'll get to the plot summary in a second. But a lot of it is in this Psychological Research Center. Sorry. And, you know, they drive up to it and it's this like thing that looks like it was built in the Mad Men era. It looks like it's a corporate office park that employs like 5,000 people, or maybe it's like a technical college with 10,000 students. And then they walk inside and there's like one crazy guy in there. There's one nurse. There's one security guard. And there's nobody else.
Yeah, and there's only like three locations that they show while they're in there.
Like, they have no compunction about just shooting guns off everywhere in this building whenever somebody runs away, because they know
this is an open
fire.
In
this gigantic building, nobody else is there except like two nurses and one security guard and one crazy guy who they just keep around for atmosphere.
Yeah. The brain's got us off the rails tonight, guys.
Yeah.
So before we get too crazy.
Speaking of rails we can ride, how about we ride that rail into
the Mike D train?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
It's pulling into the station.
This is a story all about how smug douche Jim, the high school student in Ontario/America, he's one of the few people who doesn't watch this TV show hosted by Dr. Blake, who is a great psychologist who brainwashes people through his TV show. This is one of many ways in which the plot of this movie is exactly the same as Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Anyway, everybody watches this TV show, and after they watch it, they get hallucinations which inspire them to kill their parents, or their wives, or their husbands. I don't know what the point of this is, but generally this is a plan that is masterminded by a giant brain, who I guess is an alien, who is in cahoots with Dr. Blake, who is also an alien, who looks like a man from Reanimator, who gets to get capitated. And this high school student, he's disrespectful and disruptive in high school. He gets sent to the Psychological Research Institute, basically, you know, as a form of detention. Once he's there, he's subjected to a series of hallucinations, and he goes crazy. He runs away. Eventually, all of the cops are after him. Dr. Blake is brainwashing all of his audience to go and capture this kid and his girlfriend. And eventually his girlfriend turns on him too, because she's brainwashed. And eventually his mom turns on him too, because she's brainwashed. And eventually his friend, Willie, gets killed by the giant brain. And eventually he cuts the head off Dr. Blake, who is revealed to be an alien. And then there's another really long chase. And then eventually he kills the brain by throwing metallic sodium inside his body. And then he's back home with his parents, preparing to go to Princeton. The end.
Yeah. That whole end scene was kind of dumb in my eyes.
Dumb as hell?
Yeah, it should have just ended right after the thing exploded.
Yeah.
It's called
a brain.
Yeah, whatever. I'm going to call it the thing.
It's like it's an epilogue. Like, you know, when you'll read a book and you're like, oh, that was a good ending. Oh, epilogue. Oh, what's this?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I just ruined the book for me.
It doesn't clarify anything. Like, we knew that they were alive. It's not like we needed to know anything.
That's right. The epilogue is like the most obvious thing that you thought might happen with no twist.
Literally everything was back to normal, and they wasted like 5 minutes of just showing them eat breakfast and then drive down the road.
Showing them eat breakfast in the shittiest house ever.
Yeah, nobody's been brainwashed. Like, nobody like suddenly looks at them and their eyes are red or something.
Yeah.
The brain isn't hiding behind a door, you know.
No.
Nobody.
There was like a fake like jump scare with the brain, but I didn't take it seriously. I was just like, oh, they're just trying to scare you.
Yeah, because that's the brain appears, but it's just the beginning of the credits. It's not like the brain appears in movie world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like the brain ate somebody.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Well,
and the sodium thing. The sodium thing was weird. Chekhov's throughout this whole damn movie. I think this movie was funded by Big Sodium.
Yeah, Big Sodium had their money's all over this.
Well, probably because they were allowed to film.
Go ahead. This week's episode of Forgotten Failures is brought to you by Big Sodium.
Big Sodium.
Remind that with like, big chloride, big things happen. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's part of the way they were allowed to film at the Xerox Research Center, like maybe some other tenant in the Sheridan Research Park wanted them to push the power of sodium.
Yeah.
Like, you can only film here if you really talk up sodium.
Yeah. We really need that sodium money, guys.
Yeah, this is the funniest like foreshadowing thing, because this kid is like disruptive in high school. Oh my god,
this kid is like a sexy Dennis the Menace.
Yes. Yeah, he was a grown-up version of Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, he plays these pranks like, and this is a prank you would never do by yourself. Like,
no.
Basically, you know, the old dropping a cherry bomb in the school toilet thing, which, by the way, now that I'm an adult, I realize you never, ever hear the phrase cherry bomb except in the context of dropping it in a school toilet. Like, what is a cherry bomb?
Yeah, there was cherry bomb, like, candy.
Yeah.
No, but, like,
and
the
I think
bomb
it had,
itself.
Like, a racist, like, Chinese character on it.
Like, how is this a bomb that's only available to children?
It's also available in the Fallout universe. It's used to make, I think, bottle cap bombs.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's your fact for the day.
I've heard of dropping M80s in toilets.
Is an M80 just a cherry bomb with a cooler name?
Maybe. M80s were like, they're like not a quarter stick. It's like an eighth stick of dynamite.
It's like a dynamite. But a cherry bomb is, I guess, shaped like a sphere. I don't know. Anyway, what he does is
I hear people drop deuces there too. Is that what's that? Is that like two sticks?
Those
two
don't sticks. Explode. Dropping a deuce in the toilet is nothing special. Let me assure you.
The deuce stink bomb.
Dropping a stink bomb in the toilet, again, it doesn't contribute that much to the bathroom.
No, I feel like it would just like
you use the stink
out.
Bomb anywhere but the bathroom.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah. Some anyway, he drops a piece of in my sodium in the toilet, and this like annoys the teachers, like Saved by the Bell style.
Yeah,
and he just does this for his own benefit.
Water.
Like he's just like grinning at the toilet like a madman as he's preparing to drop this piece of sodium, which must have cost hundreds of dollars, into the toilet.
Yeah.
For the benefit of nobody but himself.
Yeah, the whole package of sodium is really funny because it's in like a almost like a plastic like deck of cards kind of box.
Yeah. And it's
he like
busts it's in a soap
open.
Dish.
Yeah, it's in this plastic box like something you'd find in a rock collection.
Yeah. He like busts it open and on the cover it says like sodium caution, do not
pure sodium.
Yeah, pure sodium.
Yeah,
do not drop in water.
So this completely pointless prank that nobody else is even aware of is what gets him finally kicked out of school once and for all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that teacher got sprayed in the face with water, drinking water fountain.
And by the way, this isn't like, we're not talking like a little cube, like a sugar cube. This is like a fucking brick. Like, this is the kind of...
It's like the size of your palm.
Yeah. Like, here at Forgotten Failures, we have some resident scientists on tap whenever we need to call them for science stuff. Like, can that brain really support itself without on its spinal cord like that, or does it need something else?
Yeah, does that thing float? I still don't know how that thing moved around.
Our scientists are still out on that, but at least as far as the sodium is concerned.
I thought you were going to ask the question about the sodium.
I was getting to the sodium. The sodium. Sodium. It's like it's a giant brick of sodium. Our resident scientist said it's that like would be enough to like level the school.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
Or at least destroy any semblance of a septic system they had.
That's right. This school had to be torn down after Jim Majelewski's little exploit there.
Majelewski.
Yeah. Pronounced in many different ways by many different characters. It's just a Polish name.
Yeah, but that's like if you're making a movie, why don't you make something that's a little easier to say?
Majelewski.
Well, you know, you get to get a little insight into each character and the different ways they spell it or pronounce it.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
The brain himself couldn't spell the name right.
Yeah, I
saw it spelled one way on the
newspaper
outside the Xerox Psychological Institute, and you saw it another way in the brain's little computer monitor that he sends his messages out by. Like, maybe I want action.
Maybe that's why the brain couldn't fully take over him.
Yeah, well, he's not adapted to humanity yet. Is the brain an alien?
I don't know.
What the hell is... there's no backstory here. Like, much like in Trancers, like, you don't want a whole bunch of narration, but you'd like some explanation of what the world is that we're living in.
Yeah, they needed something there, because, and then the whole thing with the doctor being an alien, too, like, didn't make sense. It was just like, we don't know what, so we'll just make him a goddamn alien.
Yeah, because the first time you see this brain is when they get to the Psychological Research Institute, which is where Jim gets taken after he is Dennis-ing too hard.
he's gone from Dennis the Menace to Dennis the Active Threat. He's gone to Dennis Khan's one.
Yeah, he's in code. He went from yellow to code like orange red.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
He's not full red yet.
No,
but
he's not full
pushing
red.
It.
His cowlick is blinking red at this point.
So he's taken to this like research center and this very attractive lab lady.
She looked like I don't know if you know who Juno Temple is.
Oh, yeah.
She's been in, like, some random stuff. She looked like an older version of her.
She looks like Juno Temple when Juno Temple gets cast as the singer of an early 80s new wave band.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, she kind of reminded me of the girlfriend bot from Mutant Hunt.
Yeah, exactly. She was just like the bitch bot from Mutant Hunt. She had the exact same, like, short blonde hairdo.
Yeah. And he gets there, and immediately he knows something up. Something's up, because Jim is a very smart kid. Mm-hmm. He's just not very focused.
He can tell.
Which, I mean, anybody can tell. If you just get to if someone takes you to a doctor's office and they just go like, hey, lift up your shirt. I want to listen to your shit. And then they do that. And then they're like, hey, put this shit on your temples. Like, what are these electrodes do?
Juno temples.
No answer at all. Leave the room. Just,
yeah. This is such a half-assed operation. Like, they bring him in. They don't even try to gain his trust at all. Like, he just sits down, like not even in an examination room. He's just sitting in, like, the corner of a hallway on a folding chair. And he's told to look at a TV screen. And he looks at the TV screen and he says, what's the nurse holding? An apple. It is an apple. And they're, like, challenging him right away. I don't know. And then the nurse appears and she's topless, also holding an apple. And it's like, what is the point of this?
Now the apple's, like, changing back and forth between that and, like, a ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird.
So, I guess the whole point was just to try to see at what point he started hallucinating?
No, I think they were trying to brainwash him.
And
it wasn't taking. Yeah. And it's, like, he was fighting it. And the hallucinations were his way of fighting the brainwash. That's what I was picking at.
I thought they were trying to make them hallucinate so that they... Well, I guess so that they kill people. But I guess they don't... There's no need for them to kill people. I guess they just want them to be brainwashed. Probably killing their parents and husbands is a side effect.
I think the hallucinations is the side effect, the challenge against it. Because there's a whole scene in the beginning where there's this girl who's like... Oh,
prologue.
Yeah, that was a good prologue.
It was cool.
And I wish Lindsay was here right now.
There's a mom.
Sorry, Lindsay's not here. We also have another host named Lindsay. She's not here. I'm sorry, everybody.
All right.
Well, we didn't say that at the beginning. We have to say it at some point.
People will figure it out.
Well, maybe like, wow, Lindsay's real quiet in this one, huh?
Look, Lindsay's not dead. Name in the beginning. We're not just, Lindsay wasn't kicked out. We're not just going on as if there is no Lindsay who ever existed, like in the 60s sitcom, where a character can just disappear for some reason.
I don't know who this Lindsay is you're talking about.
Oh my God, it's spreading.
Wait, no, that's not a baseball. That's an apple. I'd see it.
Yeah.
Why are you topless?
Hey, you know you like it.
Oh yeah.
I do like it.
So the whole beginning, yeah, there's this mom watching independent thinking. It's a TV show.
Get it? Because it's brainwashing.
I thought there'd be a lot more like satire and self-awareness in this movie, but there really isn't very much, which I thought was good.
Yeah, and we totally got screamed. Like, we got Drew Barrymore from Scream.
Yeah, right.
Because I thought that this girl was going to be, like, a main character because, like, they were playing it up like, oh, yeah, I see him every week. And I thought she was going to be, like, part of the team that takes him down.
Yeah, you really get the backstory on her. Like, her mom is addicted to this TV show, and she really doesn't like it. And her mom took her to see the Dr. Blake at some point, and she hated it. You know, we get this whole backstory on her.
I'm thinking that she was a patient of his, and it didn't take, and that's the hallucinations, because she starts hallucinating, thinking things are coming out of the wall. She starts stabbing. And her mom comes in, and then she's like thinks she's stabbing the tentacles, and then there's like a creepy bear that starts crying blood.
That might have been the point that you thought was like the pit with the creepy teddy bear.
Yeah, this was off to a very creepy, intense start, and I was like,
the movie goes right from zero to ten. Yeah. It was just like within the first 3 minutes of the movie.
The movie happens very fast. Like, every plot point you expect in this sort of movie happens in the first 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the rest is a protected chase sequence. Okay, so
that's what kind of sucks.
In the prologue,
it kind of teeters off.
In the prologue, so the girl, she stabs her mom. Then it's like, you think the whole movie's going to be about her like dealing with having stabbed her mom and being on the run and stuff. And then the brain appears and just kind of pushes her out the window and she dies.
Yeah, see, I don't know if the brain actually appeared or if it was just another hallucination.
Oh, yeah, at this point, we don't know that it's hallucinations.
Yeah, we don't know what the hell's going on.
Looking back, probably hallucination, but... I like in movies when you do the thing you should do in movies when you show don't tell. Yeah. I really hate listening to like 5 minutes of exposition to tell me a plot. Mm-hmm. Like I think the thing that killed me in Megaforce was that scene where they explain exactly what's going to happen for 5 minutes and then 5 minutes of it happening.
And this had that going for it because it just kind of threw you in there.
Yeah, I guess that was more good than good. Bad.
Yeah, which is you know like there. It becomes frustrating because they try to go for something a little bit more
heady.
Like they want to go for a little bit, like it's not going to be just a normal monster flick. It's going to be it's going to be brainwashing and the power of suggestion and all this. Like,
But it
kind of works, but it's just like if they had a few more like explanations, like what the fuck is this brain?
Yeah.
Like, Why the fuck is Reanimator it's an alien?
Like it's like a shittier version of They Live, in the context of. Like what they're trying to accomplish, the whole brainwashing thing, and like there's you know these weird entities. I think in They Live it works out a little bit better as far as like a premise goes.
We have no idea what the goal of this brain is, or what the goal of Professor Blake is in helping the brain. Because at the same time he's an alien, so you think like he traveled here with the brain to be its partner, but then he has no idea what's going on with the brain. It's like the brain eats his sexy nurse, and he's like, "Wow, that was interesting. I wonder what's going to happen next." And he's like, okay, change of plans, everybody. The brain has gotten bigger, so we need to brainwash more people. So, like, how is he both the mastermind and somebody who has no idea what's going on?
Yeah. That was kind of the weird disconnect. Is like, from there, I didn't know who was in charge. Like, was the brain in charge or was this doctor in charge?
Yeah, and you're like, well, if the brain's in charge, how the fuck could it control this alien?
Yeah.
And if it could control an alien, what's the alien doing here?
Yeah.
I think a much more interesting plot is, like, how did the alien reanimator come to Earth and then was somehow like sidetracked from doing his thing by this brain that caught him?
Like, I feel like it didn't need to explain everything, but there should have been at least a line be like, you know, oh, this is an alien. Like, you know, well,
in the latter scene where,
like, where did this brain come from?
Well, when the sexy nurse appeared to the guy in his hallucination after she was already dead, she said, Dr. Blake's not even human. And he's controlling your brain. You can never stop him. Did she say he was an alien or what?
No, she didn't. No, we don't know what the hell he is. I think we're just supposing alien.
Yeah, she says not human. And by the way, that like, you know, plot twist, I guess if we want to call it that, happens like about 50 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
yeah. Which is cool. Like, I like that because you knew something was a little weird about Dr. Blake, but you didn't know what.
Yeah. You didn't really know if it was, yeah, what the deal was.
And kind of at that point, it becomes even more like Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, where at the end, the bad guy actually has supernatural powers, which he's using to do nothing except brainwash people for no reason.
Yeah.
He's not just a man trying to brainwash people. He has supernatural powers, and he's trying to brainwash people. Why? Who knows?
Who knows? Nobody knows.
He's not trying to transport them to his home planet or anything.
Yeah.
But now we talked about this sexy nurse who, you know, she's topless at one point. This character is eaten by a brain, as we mentioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He eats her clothing, but not her shoes.
Yep. Hates shoes. Cannot stand
shoes.
They
give him, like, acid reflux.
Yeah. It's all that leather. But
can't digest that leather.
Yeah, that's gross. But, like, this character is not in the movie very much at all. But I'll say she's in the movie, I'd say 85% of the movie topless.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
60% of that time comes after she dies.
Yeah, she's not in the movie that much, but her breasts are in the movie more than everyone else's breasts put together.
Much to the amusement of teenage boys that watch this movie.
Yep. Yeah.
And the teenage boy in this movie. Who is being terrified and being brainwashed at this research center. And then as soon as on the TV screen, he watches the woman holding the apple go to become a topless woman holding an apple. He just, it turns into Snigger City, you know?
he's excited.
He's like, what do you see on the screen, young man? He's like, I see two of them.
They're round.
they're not apples, but they're round. And again, he's just like looking directly into the camera. Like, in these scenes, you should be looking like a 30-degree angle from the camera or something. It makes a big difference in terms of whether we want the guy to just shut up and go away or not.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and we missed there was a really good line after that lady gets eaten by the brain. The doctor goes, "Now that's food for thought."
Yeah.
Which is probably the only zinger, really.
He loves saying that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. And he was super proud of it, too. He had, like, the biggest smile on his face.
I wonder if he thought of that. Like, he was like, hey, guys, I got a great line here.
He's like, oh. He ad-libbed that shit and dropped the mic afterwards.
Oh, yeah, I'm an alien.
Yeah.
Or I'm a weird subhuman.
Yeah, he does a great job with smiling in a sinister way. Like he does it with only half his face. It's like DreamWorks' face. It's like he raises one eyebrow and smiles with one half of his face. I guess you call it a smirk.
Yeah, I guess a smirk works.
But it's an evil smirk.
Smirk works.
Yeah. Evil and mischievous.
The brain starts morphing into something, and this is where we see that the brain is changing and it evolves throughout this movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
It goes from brain to like another mad ball type of thing, like we had in what was it, Power Rangers? We had the mad ball guy.
Yep. Oh yeah, the mad ball.
Yeah.
Mad balls with a Z.
Yep. This is basically a living mad ball on like a weird like
it's the brain mad ball
tentacle. This weird tentacle thing. It's supposed to be like I guess like the spinal cord, but I've played lots of Mortal Kombat and it does not look anything like that. And that is the most medically accurate game I've ever played. The Edge Body complains 47 rib cages.
47 Johnny Cage.
Was that Johnny Cage?
I think so. I think he's the one who kicks you into
Scorpion.
That was Scorpion.
Scorpion pulls the head out.
Johnny Cage wouldn't do that. He's more or less a normal human.
He punches you in the dick.
I can do that.
I think that kills you.
Yeah. So the brain.
It killed me.
So hey, yeah, I was wrong because the brain is not just a brain. He starts out as a brain with a spinal cord. He seems to be hanging, and then I guess the spinal cord reaches all the way down to the ground. But he's still floating in air. Like, he can't support himself on a spinal cord.
He was in, like, some sort of, like, weird fluid, I think. He was, like, sitting on a fluid.
Yeah,
like a bathtub type of thing.
He just looked like some, like, Chernobyl overspill or something. Yeah. I don't know.
But it was anti-sodium water.
Oh, also, it's, like, the spinal column. the second lab assistant who I'm gonna call that guy from Mythbusters if you just, like, really let himself go.
Yep.
The one with the big mustache. Yeah,
Jamie Heineman.
Yes, Jamie.
Yeah, he's Jamie Heineman.
If he let himself go completely.
His older uncle.
Yeah.
No, it's like if he ate his older uncle. He's huge. I'm sorry.
The guy, he runs a lot in this movie.
Oh, man, though. He is like the most spry, athletic person in this entire movie. He runs circles around everyone, mm-hmm. including this 18-year-old boy.
Yeah. So this is a big, bearded, balding guy, and his character's name is Nurse Verna. So,
are you serious?
Yeah.
I didn't know he even had a name.
He said, when he showed up to take the kid away from the restaurant, he said, I'm Nurse Verna from the Psychological Research Institute.
That's funny.
I'm gonna inject this guy with a syringe through his sweater, which is in no way hygienic.
He didn't care about that.
Yeah, this guy is great.
He's not too smart. He calls the spinal column that hangs from the brain. He's like, hey, its tail's growing longer.
Yeah, its tail.
What's up with its tail?
Hey, its tail's real long now, boss.
I used to play goalie for the hockey team and didn't wear a mask, you know?
Yeah. And, hey. And to describe this actor, I'm going to go through a few of his roles now if I can. Okay, he played Prison Guard 1 in something. Let's see.
In something. When you said roles, I thought you were going to like...
No, well, they're not well-known roles. This is just the type of character he plays. Prison Guard 1. Let's see. Mean Gene in Meatballs 3. Nice. Biker Number 2. Let's mm-hmm. see. He plays another character called Biker Jade. Let's see. He plays, The Hunter. The Ogre. Butch. Let's see. Burly Hunter. He was also the voice of Beast and Dr. Hank McCoy on the long-running X-Men TV show. And in the movie Knockaround Guys, he plays Earl at the Gun Shop.
So basically what you're saying is
He's a Shakespearean in X-Men.
This guy, the phrase Earl at the Gun Shop encapsulates this guy. Whether he works at the gun shop or just hangs out at the gun shop, he's Earl and he's at the gun shop. And he's a nurse in this movie, which I swear this was probably like written for a woman. It's weird.
Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by the Glocks that he's got. He's just Earl from the gun shop.
Raindrop. And drop top. He does. He's just Earl from the gun shop.
He does tote mad guns.
Yeah.
He's really into steel.
And he's really into helping out mad balls.
And he also is fluent with the axe because he chases down Jim.
He's a regular Abe's.
Yeah, there are so many fire attacks in this movie.
Yeah. And he straight up, there's a cop that's like, yo, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, just chops his dude's head right off.
He chops his head off. And then some other cops appear. And and while he's still holding the axe, he starts going, Jim killed him. Jim cut his head off with an axe.
Jim chopped his head off, like he's still holding an axe.
Yeah, he's up in the woods holding an axe, and at first he flags down this other cop with the axe. Like, he's using the handle of the axe to flag the cop down. And
very welcoming.
And then he's like, it's like he comes to his senses and is like, oh, fuck, I'm holding a murder weapon. Let me put that down.
Yeah, that's one of those parts of this movie where you're like, that didn't hold up 1 second later.
No. Yeah.
And I think the scene directly before that you referenced a little bit ago where we get this character's name is another one of those scenes that totally doesn't hold up after you watch it. So I think we're going to be doing a little backwards stuff here. After Jim goes through that weird bullshit stuff. Yeah, exactly.
We're already off the rails on this one.
Oh, yeah.
We're off the rails.
This is when he escaped the first time.
We're off the rails at the beginning of the intro.
This is when he escaped the first time. And then he's driving his car and... His first hallucination happens where a tentacle comes out of the car radio and forces him to crash the car into a gigantic fireball. Then he goes to the like Twin Kiss style restaurant where his girlfriend works, and then you pick it up.
And that place is really great. I believe it is called Jay's, where they serve submarine soft serve ice cream sandwiches. I can only imagine because the sign is just a jumble of stuff that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Where friends go.
No, where friends go.
It's a local fixture. It's a fixture of the local scene.
Yeah, it's one of those like diner signs that you see like if you go to the beach or you just go to somewhere that's
on the beach. No, it's like 30 miles away from the beach, on that weird road.
Yeah. And it's just like
we sell crabs, but we're not close enough to really be selling crabs.
Yeah, they sell crabs and bait and ice cream.
And the sign just says bait, ice cream, crab.
Yeah.
And you just want to walk in and ask for the bait ice cream crab.
I've never gone in one of those places, but I've always wanted to.
There are Twin Kiss restaurants everywhere around there.
I've been to Twin Kiss. I'm talking about the weird bait crab hot dog stands.
Go to the Colebrook Twin Kiss. It has a Ms. Pac-Man machine, and I swear I think this Ms. Pac-Man machine has been in there since 1984. It's not self-aware.
I think I've only been in the one. Is there one in Elizabethtown?
Yes, there is, yeah.
That's the only one I've been in.
Mm-hmm. It's right near the soft serve ice cream
submarine sandwiches that also has a burger bar.
Yeah.
It's right near the pig veterinarians in Elizabethtown. Other attractions in Elizabethtown include, actually, we're getting off track here.
That's our other podcast, The Attractions of Elizabethtown.
Central PA Sights and Sounds. Listen to our bonus episode where Lindsay describes the tradition of eating goose in the fall in her town in central PA for more information on this sort of thing.
Yeah, and pickles and stuff in Dillsburg. You know, the huge. The huge. So brain, we find out, is transmitting brainwashing airwaves over through like a satellite, I guess. That's another like murky situation where we don't really understand what's going on, but we know something's happening.
Yeah, like when he's escaping that place and his car bursts into fireballs, he goes into like another hallucination. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know if it's like the brain is...
Yeah, I still think it's just like residual hallucinations.
Yeah, the brain isn't trying to make them go crazy and kill each other. The thing is, we don't know what the brain is trying to do.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah,
know.
Like for him, it seems like for kids who don't seem to like get the message, like that girl and this gym, it wants them to die. And
everyone else, it's just like they kind of turn into these like weird brainwashed zombie type of people. Not like zombie is like eat your brain zombie, but just like
brain zombie.
Just like brain zombie.
You might call them trancers.
Not thinking trancers. Yeah,
they're kind of in a trance of some sort.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and they're plural. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's weird.
So his hallucination then he has another hallucination when they take him to the back room at this restaurant and then hide him for some reason from the cops. Why are they hiding him from the cops?
I think they take him in there to like patch him up because he has this pretty horrific car accident.
Yeah, he flipped
his
car.
Like this car flips. It's an old...
it's a Pontiac, like a late model Pontiac, late 50s.
It's super nice and it flips and he walks away as all heroes do. Basically unscathed, except for a small cut on his face. Yeah. He walks into the restaurant, and everybody freaks the fuck out. Yeah. Like his head's
like there's
gone.
More blood if you like pick a hangnail.
Yeah, this is a bleeding. Face injury. Like the like the forehead bleeds a lot, even from the smallest cut. And this was not bleeding that much.
No, he's got like a thin trickle of blood that could have been mistaken for like it's the kind of thing you'd miss if he turned the wrong way.
Yeah, like that was probably one of the only big fails. Like, big fails. Yeah. Like, there are some other fails, but it's like, yeah, whatever, I get it.
Yeah, how do you make a movie like this and you skimp out on the blood makeup?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I wouldn't care so much if the characters didn't make a massive deal about
like,
this.
Oh, like, you look terrible, eh?
Oh, my God! Oh, God, is that your brain coming out of your ear? Oh,
well,
no,
well,
no,
he
it's
encounters
just a small
the one
trickle
person
of blood
who
that
would,
looks like ketchup.
Who would freak out about it? His girlfriend.
Oh, so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she takes him to the back room and she's, you know...
They patch him up. By that, they mean they take a napkin, just wipe the blood off his face.
Yeah.
And I guess they lock him in?
Yeah, I didn't understand that part. I don't know if they locked him in or he was just kind of hanging in there.
I don't think they locked him in. I think he thought he was locked
in. Yeah, that happened with the girl who was hallucinating at the beginning, too. She tried to get out of her bedroom and she couldn't. Which really makes it seem like it's not hallucination if suddenly you're locked into a room, but whatever.
Yeah, it's weird.
Either way, the cop
shows up there and... Even at the end of the movie, I didn't know if the cops were bad guys or good guys, which I guess is good. You know, they're kind of chaotic forces.
Yeah, they're ambiguous.
Which is good. I mean, so the cop comes in, you know, is asking about this this asshole who flipped his car because he knows who he is because this kid is the town troublemaker.
Yeah, he's the town Dennis.
He's the town Woody the Woodpecker.
And so everybody gives him the cold shoulder, and then Jim comes out in it's a very convincing freak out.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Like, I don't know, sometimes they look really forced, or they just look like, I don't know, like the person's trying to go out of their way not to hurt themselves or anyone around them. And he seems to be acting in a way that, like, if you saw, like, if I saw somebody in a restaurant doing that, I wouldn't think it was... not normal, but I mean, I would be like, that guy looks like he's actually freaking out.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that guy.
This guy's actually freaking out. He's not just filming something for Impractical Jokers.
Yeah, it looks real.
It's not a prank.
But so while the cop and the restaurant patrons are trying to subdue,
Jim,
Dancing Jimmy, Nurse Bluto comes in.
Bluto, that's exactly what he is.
He comes in and... Without any explanation, he says his name and where he's from.
He says that
after he injects a kid with a sedative through his sweater and starts to fireman's carry him over his back. Like, the cop at this point has just lost control of the situation because he's like, all right, you're going to take this guy away? Yeah, sure, that's cool, I don't care.
I'll defer to
whatever you want.
Medical personnel who are clearly just a random idiot that the doctor picked up off the street to do his dirty work.
Yeah, he holds up a folded piece of paper and goes, I got a release form. It's okay.
I got a release form and some drugs in my dirty syringe.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just driving like a fucking truck. He's like, yeah. I'm just going to toss him in the back.
You're, not driving a medical vehicle. You in no way look like medical personnel. Like, somehow the way to make it more plausible when you abduct somebody is to inject them with something.
Yeah, why not?
Like, oh, if surely nobody who injects people with random chemicals could be an evil man.
Yeah. So, yeah, and now we get to, fast forward, head cutting off, fast forward, axe waving down, fast forward. We get to another, I'm going to call it stupid as hell death.
Yeah.
Because at this point, James, Jim, the Jimster,
yeah.
Jimmy boy and his girlfriend. Have...
Yeah, this is when he escaped again, this time with his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, they lost the buddy, though. I don't know if he ever had a name.
Willie. His name was Willie.
Willie had a sweet mullet and like an Archie jacket.
Yeah.
He was the derpiest derp I think I've seen in a movie, and I was actually kind of sad. He gets eaten by the brain at one point.
Yeah, he gets straight up, like his head gets like bitten off.
Which is kind of cool.
It was cool.
And then they, like... Our hero and his girlfriend, they keep talking about how they want to go back to the research institute to save Willie.
Yeah.
They saw his head got bitten off, didn't they?
You literally see his fucking head get just eaten.
Or even if they didn't see that, they saw him being ingested by the brain. Like, there's no happy ending there.
Yeah, shortly after this, this is where they start going on the run, and it's just like a chase scene for like the last 45 minutes.
They're both in handcuffs. Yeah. He loses them at some point. She keeps them on.
There's a couple like cool scenes like thrown in there. Like there's one where they meet up, they get to a house and it's, was it the principal or a teacher or something?
It was the principal, the guy who initially was going to kick him out of school.
Yeah. They get to his house and they see him in the backyard. He's just like having a brew and building a deck or something.
He's just being super Canadian. He's just being a dude, man.
He is just, standing on a wooden platform in his backyard, which I'm guessing he built several years ago, intending to build a shed on top of it. And then never did. Yeah. And
drinking
just standing there, literally, there is not even a chair, standing there drinking bottles of beer.
Yeah. Yeah, and his wife comes out, and she's like, hey, something or other. I don't even know what she said.
Yeah.
And then she just
starts
looking menacing.
Don't you want to watch the show with me? Don't you want to watch the brainwashing show, honey?
Oh, yeah, which is the funniest thing. Like, I thought that this part was, I was really excited because I was like, oh, nice. This movie does do some solid foreshadowing. Like, they're going to talk to the principal, and these unlikely enemies are going to have to become allies.
Yeah, he's going to help them out.
Guy who hasn't watched this show because he's outside drinking beer alone.
living up his days. Man, if I didn't blow out my knee, I'd be playing with Gretzky right now. That could have been me. I could have been Luke Robitaille. I could have been Yari Curry.
Yeah, it was either me or Wilf Paymon on that trip, and they picked Wilf Paymon to join the team.
Goddamn, coach didn't trust me.
Anyway, so anyway, he does not, he is not approached by our heroes. What happens to him?
No. His wife picks up a hedge trimmer or a chainsaw?
I think it was supposed to be a chainsaw, but
it looked more like a hedge trimmer.
Yeah, I think that was a hedge trimmer.
Yeah, and she straight up just,
bisects him.
Yeah, she kind of like corners him, and he could have gotten away many times. Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's say when she first picks it up, he's like, hey, honey, what the fuck are you doing? Or something like that. And then she's like, just kind of like slowly comes towards him with it. And he like falls over. This all takes like 15 minutes. Like
maybe not that long, but definitely longer.
It's maybe 15 seconds, should have. Which is still longer than it should have.
I mean, she lowers that chainsaw to his belly like the pit in the pendulum. Like, it's painful how long it takes.
Yeah. Like even when she first hit him, he still could have rolled and got out of the way.
Yeah, he could have ran
like,
out
been
of
like,
the way.
Ah, you got me a little bit.
Yeah,
but I'm all right. I can get away.
You grazed me with the hedge trimmer, honey. You do that on whenever you watch that show. That's why I don't like watching it with you. I told you that. Yeah.
You're a psycho. Anyway, so he gets split in half. And then the kids go on. They go on another chase scene,
and you can tell the woman's super insidious about like the brain is very insidious because like as soon as the woman kills her husband, she's like, "Jim did it. Jim killed my husband."
For the benefit of all the no people who are listening to her in the backyard, she broadcasts this to
people.
The populace.
I think that's just part of the brainwashing. Anytime you kill someone, blame it on Jim.
And for some reason, there was a cop car in this in the street in front of the house, and that never amounted to anything. Maybe they cut out a scene involving a cop there. But yeah, I guess it just shows him that he's being pursued by the cops everywhere. The TV show has really decided to put all its efforts into framing him, just because I guess he was the only person ever to witness the brain, even though there's no security at this brain research center, and people just walk in and out all the time. They don't even leave the door closed where the brain is and where everybody's making their evil plots.
Yeah, seriously, you think there'd be like at least... Yeah. I don't even think there was a handle on it. No, it was just like a push-open door.
It's like the door to a kitchen. You just push it open. And the other thing, when they put like the electrodes on his head and said, "What do you see on the TV?" Like the electrodes were leading just like underneath a door to like the brain, who is sitting in his vat of brain fluid like 4 feet away.
Yep.
And this is in this huge research building. Clearly has 1.5 rooms where they actually do anything. Yeah. It's just preposterous. So he's being framed by everybody, and I guess. He tries to sneak back into the research center. Like he kept saying,
"Well, they
it
go
was
to the school
save-
first."
Oh, that's right. They spent all this time at the school. That's right.
They go to the school, and then we get a weird like. There's like kind of like a sex scene.
Yeah,
they don't show anything, but it's just like implied. But then he wakes up, and we don't know. And well, he wakes up. He has a dream, in this dream, the brain shows up. Which when it's happening, you think that it's really happening. Like he's having another hallucination. Mm-hmm. And then the brain starts taking over like a skeleton model, and it's like controlling like this skeleton. Like,
finally, I have arms and legs.
Yeah. And then it teleports there, and you're like, "What the hell's going on?" And then he wakes up. So
yeah,
I'm assuming that didn't happen, but it was still weird. But then that also negates if he actually did it with his girlfriend.
I don't think he did.
I'm not sure. I don't think he did either.
Because like he was dreaming that he was lying next to her, and she was like topless under a blanket, I guess.
Yeah,
and he was wearing no shirt, but he was wearing his jeans buckled up. And he was dreaming that
That's
he was sleeping
sex.
Next to his girlfriend with his jeans buckled up.
Yeah, and then when he wakes up, he has a t-shirt
on. He woke up and he wasn't next to his girlfriend, and he hadn't even taken his shirt off. So I don't think any of that ever happened.
I don't think so either.
He was like, "Oh, man, I can check my wallet. Oh, no, I still got my V card. No, that was fake."
Nope.
But they did a good job of like thinking that it was real.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did do that well. And then we cut to...
She's suddenly
the most illogical scene ever.
Yes, it's dumb. I don't understand.
Because at this point in the movie, they know that if you watch the TV and...
Well, if you watch that show,
if you watch
it, it's going to happen.
Yeah, then you're going to be brainwashed.
Yeah.
So why not go to the library and watch the show?
Yep, which is what she does. And she watches the show, freaks the fuck out.
Starts calling him a murderer.
She just starts calling him a murderer, as if that's his name.
Yeah.
Like, no, stop talking to me, murderer.
Go away, murderer.
Your name
no,
is murderer
I don't want
now.
A cheeseburger, murderer.
So then the cops show up, and they're I want to pretend that they're not brainwashed and that they just normally shoot people.
Yeah, they just bust in and just start shooting. Well, what the one cop goes, "When we find them, we're shooting to kill."
Yeah.
We might as well. Yeah, those nurses back at the research center were shooting to kill. Why can't we?
Yeah, fuck it.
They're going to be left out of killing kids.
So
yeah, but anyway, so he gets away again. He ends up going to shop class and stealing a little Honda, probably an early 80s Honda or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering what that car was.
No hood.
It's like a hatchback, but you couldn't open the back.
Yeah.
And now this hatchback is the fastest hatchback in the world.
Yeah. Not in real life, but in this movie.
No, it's got some giddy up. It goes faster and it accelerates faster than Chevy Chase's Mercedes in Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, well, it also, it's outrunning a police car, which is ridiculous.
Well, see, that looked like a shop class where they, teach you how to, work on cars. It's actually
it's
not.
It's a chop shop.
It's a chop shop where they just, where this is like the prequel to the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
It's when they're all in school.
Like Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, it is. It is all of those. It is the prequel to all driving movies.
Yeah, but this is cool because there's a cool little car chase scene. Well, it's not that cool, but he ends up at a dead end and there's a cliff. And he's like, "Fuck it, I'm going to push it over the cliff and get these cops off my tail." And he does this, and it's a really neat scene, but it's also a very anticlimactic scene because he does the old stick on the accelerator and drives it off the cliff.
So he just finds a stick lying around that's the exact right size and shape, because it's like it's also got another stick coming off from it at exactly the right angle.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in Canada.
Yeah, they have those lying around everywhere next to every cliff in case you want to send your car off of it.
Yeah, they're driving sticks. they're just everywhere.
they're called plummeting sticks.
Did you get lazy?
So it goes off and it hits, and it's a pretty big drop, and it falls and crashes and lands on its top, and there's no explosion, nope. Which is very realistic,
nope. Yeah,
but very anticlimactic.
Yeah, since his car earlier exploded when it just rolled.
Yeah.
Yeah, they blew all the explosion budget
I don't even think they showed like the cops like looking at it and wondering what happened or anything.
Yeah,
they just cut to him being at the research center, which they're also like having their big gala event to celebrate them going nationwide.
Yeah,
which I guess there's like hundreds and hundreds of people there, but then apparently it's just the same number of people who are always there to be in the studio audience anyway.
Yeah, the crowd that was outside looked much bigger than what was in that studio.
Because they're all like just walking in droves, kind of like that strange like zombie, but not really because they're talking to each other and like.
It looked like a zombie horde. Like they were just like kind of.
But they shuffle around.
It's
almost like if you've seen the old I Am Legend movie with.
With Vincent Price.
With Vincent Price.
Yes.
They had that feel to them. But a little bit more coherent.
Yeah, they're just like. It's like they're a little bit more with it, but for the same kind of like listlessness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, but then also the audience is different because it includes Jim's parents.
Oh. Whoa.
Who, much like in society, his parents are like 50 years older than him. They are like.
Yeah, they're.
Most square, stuck-up people in the world.
Yeah, so Jim goes in, he starts doing stuff. He finds the girlfriend. I forget her name.
Yeah.
The girlfriend, we'll call her.
It was a name you would not find on a girl of that age nowadays. Debbie, and, Carol, Janet, some name like that.
Yeah, he finds her in the dead body room, which I don't know what the purpose of that room really was.
I don't know either.
It's just to hold dead bodies and dry ice.
Yeah, because the brain thing was eating people like whole.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the point of the dead body room was.
Because she gives a stupid bit of exposition where she's like, this is where they keep me. The brain comes in here and eats from time to time. I'm next.
Yeah.
Come get
How
me
are
out.
You next? There's like 25 corpses in there.
Yeah.
You're not next. The brain gonna go, you know, you're not even a corpse yet.
Yeah. And she's like handcuffed with her hands above her head, like to the ceiling.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because she was already handcuffed by the cops and now she's been handcuffed again to the ceiling.
Yeah. Ugh. So he breaks her out. They go on another chase scene. There's another cool axe moment when he's getting chased by Nurse Vern again. No, it was a cop, I think, this time. Anyways, either one of them. He gets an axe and breaks open something. The guy comes around the corner. He just like throws the axe at him like like video game style.
Yeah, he doesn't even come close to hitting him, though.
No,
me throwing an axe. Like, I'd be that went a lot less far than I thought it would.
Yeah, that was the cherry on top, was that it was just a terrible throw.
But the guy reacts like you would if someone threw an axe. You're like, oh, shit, I don't get paid enough for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm not in any danger here, but what if he finds another axe somewhere?
Yeah. If someone threw an axe at me, I'd probably turn around and go the other way.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I'm done.
He kind of just stopped chasing him, too. He's just, because, like, at this point, like, it's just nurse assistant
But he does that. He doesn't free his girlfriend. He goes to the TV studio. Punches, he shows up like the show host is on the air, and you think he's going to like reveal something, like reveal the brain or something, but no, he just goes up and punches the host in the face. And you're like, that's not going to help you, guy. You know, everyone thinks you're crazy already, but no, he bet right. You know, his gamble was correct because his punch in the face punched the guy's head off, and he's revealed to be filled with alien goo.
Yeah, or some sort of goo. We don't know.
Juice.
We don't know if he's an alien, but he's definitely something weird.
Yeah, well, the topless nurse would say, he's not human.
Yeah, now then the topless nurse was confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't trust a nurse, you can trust a topless nurse.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
And that nurse, Verna, comes into the studio.
No. Verna is the non-topless nurse.
But I'd like to see him topless, but when like Jim's giving his like speech on stage, like about how he's not a murderer and there's this guy's evil because he's filled with green liquid.
Yeah,
like Verna is. He's got his like, you know, little like Walther small
pistol.
Caliber pistol, and he's just like stalking up like he's just like the new James Bond. And he's just like levels off, and the way you know the mind control seems to be broken is because everyone freaks out that that Jim is gonna get shot, not double O Y,
which is another reason why they didn't need to show the shit at the end of the movie, because you already saw that everyone was back to normal.
Exactly, like you, because Yeah.
It's dumb. Yeah. It's dumb. So that's happening. And then he runs off again. There's another chase scene. They go up and down the stairs again. They must run up the same set of stairs at least like 15 times in this movie.
Well, they could
like
not,
different various scenes.
Well, they could not believe that Xerox gave them access to that wonderful staircase.
Yeah. They're like, dude, we're going to shoot the hell out of the stairwell.
There's a lot of
stairs. And
the stair, so not just much. The stairwell, but also that like ramp where, that leads to the entrance.
Yeah, yeah,
up and down that
was a popular
times.
Location too. Yeah, yeah, and then he goes back to the boiler room, which I think we failed to notice.
That's
earlier,
right.
That's where
Willie
got eaten.
That's right. That part was really funny. Like when Willie and his girlfriend go looking for him, they get to the research center and they're like, "We need to sneak in." So they like break. They use an axe again. Another axe to break the lock.
No, that was a bolt cutter.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, to break the lock off the door to the boiler room. And sneak into the boiler room, and you're like, how is this going to accomplish anything? Little did you know that they're geniuses, and Jim, at that very moment, was running into the boiler room, pursued by the bearded, disheveled, overweight nurse. So that, and then in the boiler room, you get another hilarious scene where there's a giant sign that says, "Warning, sodium in use. Do not use water." So it's like, what? I think his expertise with sodium might come in handy at some point in this movie.
They really force-fed the sodium issue through this movie because there was the sodium thing at the beginning, which was like, oh, okay, that's probably going to come back in the end. But then they just, every time you're somewhere where there might be a sodium sign, there is a sodium sign. And it doesn't make sense. And it's there all the time.
Yeah. And the camera focuses on it and you hear like, ba-da, ba-da, sodium.
Seriously, like the last scene of this movie is the brain busts out of its
cell.
Yeah, whatever. It eats Verna because I have no idea why.
I think it just crossed his path.
Yeah, I guess so.
It wanted to grow. It needed to grow more.
And then it's getting ready to eat our two heroes, but the brain has them cornered into this wall where there's just a whole bunch of shit. Like
periodical elements?
Yeah, there's a lot of Einsteinium hanging out.
Yeah, there's a bunch of just like steel shelving units. With like random industrial supplies.
I don't know why.
Them.
Yeah, it was like a warehouse, but they were in the boiler room. It didn't really make sense.
Again, because it's a boiler room.
Yeah.
Where water boils.
And we know it's
a
boiler room because there's like a shitload of signs that said it's the boiler room.
Oh, yeah. So there's a sign everywhere in this building showing where the boiler room is.
Yeah, so the brain starts, he shoots out a tentacle and it starts like, it attacks the girlfriend and he starts stabbing the tentacle with like what looks to be like a shampoo bottle.
Yeah, I thought he was like grabbing something and you're like, that's not even something you can stab with. That's like a fucking salt shaker or something.
Yeah, like you would have been better off just like punching it.
You'd be better off stabbing it with your fingernails.
Yeah. But so he does that for a little while and then he sees a bigger blunt object and he starts beating it with that. And then all of a sudden he reads that blunt object and it says sodium on it and we're like, oh, finally.
You almost want him to like look at the camera. Do like one of those just like sly
like
looks,
winks,
nods, and it's like, yeah, you know where this is going.
See,
on.
Yeah, twinkle in the eye.
Like, let's see how it plays out, huh?
I was expecting him to untwist the top and then just like down the hatch type of thing, but he just like footballs it right into
its mouth. It's a sealed container.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. I was like, that's not going to hurt him, but then it explodes, so it obviously did.
Yep, and you know it explodes because you can see the ring of explosions on the creature's face as they ignite and explode.
Yeah, the brain must have like acid stomach, so it just like disintegrated that plastic pretty easy.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what instantly. Kind of stomach a brain has?
Yeah, let's ask one.
Oh, I know. No stomach, because it's just a brain. It doesn't have a dog face either.
Yeah, it was a weird like cat-dog brain.
It was like a dog, but with a really flat snout. Maybe like
something
a bear.
That the Finster would come up with, you know? This is very much a Finster creation.
Yeah, in fact, when you said Madball, I thought you were talking about one of Finster's creations, not Madballs, the characters you find in gumball machines at the grocery store.
Well, I was talking about both because I remember we made a Madballs reference to the Finster character in the past.
Yeah, we get Madballs gets name dropped a lot.
Yeah, we're
also sponsored by Madballs.
Yeah, so we're pretty much done now. This movie does not pass the Bechdel test. I'm pretty sure. Unless, as in so many movies, it's a mother talking to her daughter. I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
This is another movie where like everything escalates all at once. Like somehow they've been brainwashing people, and apparently we've heard that there's been 8 deaths since the TV show has been on the air. But then as soon as Jim gets involved, like it goes from like 5% of the people being brainwashed to 99.9% of the people being brainwashed overnight. Somehow this show is now the biggest hit. I don't know why.
And it has all of the appeal of a public access show with shitty sound, awful camera work, an annoying guy.
It's like the Phil Donahue show with no guests and like it's always the same. It's just the guy comes on and says, "It's time for you to have self-confidence."
It's like if Charlie Rose was like just talking instead of interviewing people. Yeah.
Well, it's like the kind of thing you see in
spaces. Yeah.
It's the kind of thing your guidance counselor shows you, but it's on TV, and you know nobody
would watch that.
You got to be brainwashed to watch it, but the only way you get brainwashed is by watching it. You know, it's a paradox.
Doesn't make sense.
There must be some other show that brainwashes people into watching this show by actually being entertaining, and then on this show you get the brainwashing, which really makes you do the business, which is I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kill your husband.
Dog. There was a cool, once the credit scene happens, there's a nice warning to tell you to beware with sodium.
Yeah. It's actually a PSA.
Yeah, this whole movie was just brought to you by Big Sodium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would...
Just like this podcast.
Yep.
And I want to say that this kid in high school was my dad in high school, because I've been hearing from my dad about these pranks he used to do, and one of them was literally getting a big piece of sodium and dumping it in the Allegheny River.
Man,
like him and his friend, one night.
Your dad's a murderer.
They got a big piece of sodium and they dumped it off a bridge into the Allegheny River. And
did it do anything cool?
Well, it made a bunch of sparks and fire temporarily.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I kind of want to see that now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But
like all of my dad's stories about pranks. It's like it's something that nobody witnessed. So what was the point?
Yeah, sometimes pranks are just fun to hang out with your friends. We used to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes. We used to make like chlorine bombs and just throw them around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I put my share of 2-liter soda bombs in people's mailboxes.
Yeah. Sometimes you just do shit. Like
dry ice in a soda bottle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get some mercury out of a thermometer. Roll it down the hallway.
We did drop one. We dropped one of those in like, it was like a water bottle, into a pool one time. And that was cool to watch it explode underwater. Pretty neat.
What sort of bomb?
I think it was a chlorine bomb.
Oh.
Because out in Vegas, there's a lot of pools, so chlorine was easy to come by.
Oh, yeah.
So, and just fill it with water bottle and something else. I don't remember. I was never the one putting the bomb together. I was always just there to watch it happen.
It wasn't me. I wasn't the mastermind here.
No, I really was. I don't own up to that if I was. That was our buddy Joe that loved blowing things up.
Well, if you're out there, Joe, let us know how you did it, because we need to do that again.
We have the internet. It's out there.
Look, it's Taylor's growing.
Spinal cord, Vanna. It's a brain, not an animal.
Right.